Coming up today on The Dwelling Place.
You don't respect them because you agree with everything they say or every decision that the leadership makes. No, you do it for the work's sake. Not because we agree with everything, but because of the work God is doing through them. When my opinion becomes greater than the working of the Holy Ghost in His church, something's wrong. And when our opinion is elevated above the work of the Holy Spirit, it only produces dissension and division.
Dwelling place, dwelling place.
Hi there. We're glad you could join us today for The Dwelling Place. Pastor Al Pittman will begin our study in just a moment as we continue to make our way through Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. We'll be focusing on chapter 5, verses 12 through 28 today. This section of Scripture contains instruction about life in the church. Paul's words are very practical, basic, and as we're about to see, very straightforward. We're talking about how we're to live and relate to each other in the church, today on The Dwelling Place. Here's Pastor Al.
The Happy Meal Church. No, we're not going to talk about McDonald's today. But to talk about a church that is a place where the Spirit of God is moving, where the body of Christ is edifying one another, and Jesus Christ is glorified, where the food is good, amen? A Happy Meal Church is what I want to talk to you about today, because in our text, Paul presents, for me, I just broke it down this way, as a meal for us to consume. Paul presents really a three-course meal from, if you will, the dining menu of God. A diet for the church which promises to promote health within the body of Christ. Don't you want to belong to a healthy church? Amen. And this is what Paul prescribes for us here in the closing words in his letter in 1 Thessalonians. And I feel like Paul is trying to pack it all in, saying, I want to, you know, almost like the last words of a dying man, you know, like, I want to make sure I tell you all the essential stuff. So it really packs in a lot here within our text, but we're going to go through it here. But it is for the purpose of promoting a healthy body of believers. God wants us to be a healthy fellowship, a body of believers that are aligned with His word. And we find here, I think the message is important because we find here really the structure necessary for a healthy, life-giving church. We begin here at verse 12, and we begin with any meal. Any meal has three parts to me, and that is the appetizer, the entree, and then the dessert. Yum, yum. Amen. Want to get to the dessert. Now, so I know this is probably a message that is just torching a lot of you because you came to church hungry, but we're going to get into it. Amen. As one of the three courses, or as any, I should say, three-course meal, we begin, of course, with the appetizer. I love it when the wait person comes and says, would you like an appetizer? Yes, please. You know, everybody wants to get an appetizer. Not all the time, but, you know, the appetizer. What is the appetizer for? Well, it stimulates the appetite in anticipation of receiving more, of receiving more. And for the appetizer, Paul urges the church to do this. This is interesting. To respect and to honor those who labor among you. Look at verse 12. Paul says, and we urge you, brethren, that you recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. And they admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. In every healthy church, there is a healthy respect for the leadership. Just let it hang out there for a while. I'm serious. In every healthy church, there's a healthy respect for the leadership. Not just a senior pastor, but for those who serve, who labor among us, who head Bible studies, who direct ministries and all of that. And Paul says we should esteem them. That word esteem, this means to consider, to account them very highly, that is beyond measure, in love. Now, this sounds foreign to the ears of a generation of total disrespect of authority. But it ought not be that way in God's house. Honor those who labor among you. And do it in love. Love makes a difference because love is the key. This is demonstrating acts of genuine affirmation and respect. I remember years ago as a young assistant pastor being out in California at one of the pastors' conferences for Calvary Chapel. And a gentleman by the name of Romaine, and many of you don't know who he is, but he used to be Chuck Smith's assistant to Chuck Smith, and he's in heaven now, and Chuck's in heaven as well. But Romaine said this to us knucklehead assistant pastors. And Romaine would cut to the chase. I mean, he didn't mess around. He didn't care about your feelings. He just spoke the truth because he was a former Marine drill sergeant. Amen. And he's talking to these pastors. And he said to us, assistant pastor, and he's speaking about the authority of the senior pastor over the assistant pastor. He said, listen, if you can't respect the man, resign. If you can't honor the man, resign. Don't hang around and try to get a coalition for yourself. Don't hang around murmuring and complaining. Just leave. And I listened to that advice, and I thought, you know, that I've held it with me all these years because it's so true. Even in the body of Christ, man, if you don't have a pastor you respect, then find one you do. Because God demands order in his house. Amen. And Paul starts it with the appetizer because there has to be order, because if there's not order, there'll be chaos. God is not the author of confusion, but of order. And so he starts, it's interesting, he could have started with love, anything else. He started with respect of leadership because before you can get to the other things, you got to start with the appetizer. Before you get to the other things, there must be order in the house of God. Now, we do not respect and honor others and highly esteem them in love for their sake in general, even though it may be a blessing to them. We respect and honor for, Paul says it here in verse 13, for the work's sake. Now, what is he saying here? He says it's not, you don't respect them because you agree with everything they say or every decision that the leadership makes. No, you do it for the work's sake. Not because we agree with everything, but because of the work, listen, God is doing through them. When my opinion becomes greater than the working of the Holy Ghost in his church, something's wrong. And when our opinion is elevated above the work of the Holy Spirit, it only produces dissension and division. You honor them for the work's sake, the fruit that God is bearing through their ministry for the edification of the body. Where there is respect and order, notice this, there should be peace. Verse 13, Paul says, but be rather at peace among yourselves. Be at peace. And then he says in verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. And Paul says, it's just a warning. He says, warn people who are unruly. We're causing dissension and division within the body of Christ. That word unruly, it really is a military term. It speaks of a group of soldiers. And we got a lot of ex-military, former military in here, those who are active duty right now. And I've never been in the military, but my father served for 20, 21 years in the Army. But I know, we go to, parades and stuff and see them marching. And it's such an awesome thing to see soldiers marching together in lockstep, I mean, just something about that. And the phrase that he's using here, speaking of a unit of soldiers who are marching together. And that person who is unruly is kind of like Gomer Pyle. Now, you baby boomers know Gomer Pyle. The rest of you are probably sitting there going, what? He was saying, no, Gomer Pyle could never get in step with the rest of the unit. He was always kind of, whatever. He just could never lockstep, and Sergeant Carter would be yelling in his face, And why was he yelling in his face? Because a military unit must be together. In order to be an effective military unit, there must be order. And when a soldier, he or she, is not walking in order, what is that called, military folks? Insubordination. Because when you're insubordinate, what you're doing is you're impacting the entire unit. And the unit cannot be an effective fighting unit if there's not order. And a church cannot be an effective fighting unit against the principles and principalities and powers of darkness unless there is order first in the house of God. So before we get to all the entree, we got to deal with the appetizer. Amen. We must be united. Spirit of God is not divided. It's unity. And Jesus said, Father, make them one unit, that the world might believe that you have sent your son. Amen. And Paul tells Titus in Titus chapter 3, he says, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. There were Jews who had come into the church who said they had given their life to Christ, but then they came in promoting the law, saying, oh, you know, the Christians have to keep the law. Paul said, no way. By grace we're saved. And so he said, you know, avoid these foolish disputes and about genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. And then he says this, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. Reject that person, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. In other words, you go to somebody the first time and say, hey, you need to stop doing that. You're dividing the body. And then they continue to do it. You go to them a second time and say, hey, I'm being gracious here. Stop doing that. You're dividing the body. The third time, there's the door. Why? Not because you're not loving or whatever, but because they are dividing the body of Christ. And out of love for his sheep, God will deal with those people who are there to cause division and contention in his house. Yes. Amen. It's a warning. Warn those who are unruly, those who are out of step, those who are causing division among you.
Today's message in 1 Thessalonians 5 is called Happy Meal Church. Pastor Al will be back in a moment with part two. On behalf of Pastor Al, I would like to ask you to consider becoming a financial partner with us. Your consistent financial support enables us to keep this radio ministry moving forward. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now here's Pastor Al with the conclusion of our study today in 1 Thessalonians 5.
Disorder, a lack of respect for God's labors and for the work of the Holy Spirit in the church, ruins the body's appetite, think about it, for God's entree. That's why I believe Paul starts with the appetizer. He starts with this order, because now you can receive the other things that God has for the body of Christ that ought to be happening and functioning within a healthy church body. Now you can eat the rest, if you will, of this happy meal, a meal that inspires and gives glory to Jesus Christ and edifies the body of Christ. Well, where is that meal, the entree? The main entree really is in verse 14, the latter part, and all the way to verse 21, I'll read it, but read along with me. After he says, warn those who are unruly, he says, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, this is the main course. And if there's not order, there's going to be chaos, and you won't see these things functioning within the body of Christ. But this is the main course. Now we had the entree, we go to the main course. The main course consists of what I call sweet edification, goodness, secondly. Thirdly, something I call RPG, I'll explain. And lastly, the Spirit. These are the main things, attributes or evidences of the presence of God working within the church, or attributes that you should find within a Happy Meal Church. Sweetness of edification. What is that? Well, for me, I'm kind of giving food descriptions of some of these terms, but to me, sweetness of edification could be probably like a nice sweet potato with some brown sugar and butter. I'm just saying. So I know some of you are hungry right now, but so sweet, the sweetness of edification. Why is it sweet? It's sweet because it provides comfort for the faint-hearted and upholds the weak. It edifies the body. That word comfort literally means to calm or to console or to encourage. To uphold, what does that mean? It means to care for, man, to support. We don't kick the faint-hearted and the weak to the curb. Someone's having a tough week or whatever, the faint-hearted, man, I don't know if I can go on. You go, hey, you know, suck it up. That's not the answer. Or they're weak in the Lord. Man, you haven't learned that yet? No. You comfort and you uphold them. I pray God would make this a grace place. People know you can come in here faint-hearted and weak and it's all right. Amen. That God might build you up. Pride and insubordination, however, because Paul says, be patient with all. Pride and insubordination within the body of Christ only allows one to be patient for some, not for all. I can be patient with some who are doing it the right way or the way I think they ought to be doing it. But then when someone comes in all jacked up or whatever, No, be patient with all. Patient with all. Patience means to be long-suffering, to not lose heart, to be slow to anger, slow to punish. Now, this is not the divisive brother I was talking about or divisive sister you asked to leave that refuses to repent. Because their intention is to divide the body, to undermine the leadership. This is somebody in the body who is just, they're faint-hearted and they're weak. And you're patient, you're long-suffering with them. You don't lose heart with them. You're slow to punish them. They made a mistake or whatever. You go and reprove them or whatever. But you know what? You don't kick them out of church because they're weak or they're faint-hearted. Now listen to this. To comfort, to uphold, and to be patient with one another is merely to treat one another like Jesus treats you. How am I supposed to function within the church? How does the Lord treat you? Does the Lord comfort you? Does the Lord uphold you? Is the Lord patient with you? Amen? Then we ought to be that way toward one another. Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Man, if you're around a church for more than 15 minutes, you got to complain. Because people are human, we're all imperfect, and someone stole your parking space, someone to sit in your seat. Amen. Someone did something, that announcement, or the pastor made a decision you didn't agree with, whatever. If for 15 minutes, or something, there's going to be some kind of maybe a complaint or whatever, not all the time, but sometimes a complaint. He said, listen, if you have a complaint against each other, here's what you do with it. You don't take it to the complaint desk. People think the pastor, senior pastor, is the complaint desk.
Well, Pastor, I just wanted you to know that I didn't appreciate that personal.
Hey. God bless you. We got a complaint. Hey, here's the question, really. You think Jesus has a complaint about you? You think there's some things in your life he's got some issues with? He did with the churches in Asia Minor. Well, you're doing all these wonderful works, but I got a complaint against you, Jesus said. Here's one thing I have against you. You have left your first love. He had a complaint against them. You think he might have a complaint against you and me? I believe so. But he's patient. He upholds us. He comforts us. And we should do the same for one another. Amen. Amen. And when that's going on in the church, that's where you have that sweet aroma of edification and it becomes a grace place. People can come in, no matter what their background has been or whatever, and come in and they can sense the presence of God. Because there's no condemnation here, but there's grace. Not grace to live the way you want to live, but grace to change. to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus, transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Amen. The sweetness of edification, sweet aroma of grace. Here's the next item that we find on the plate. Oh, now in the main course, right? And in verse 15, and Paul says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And I come to this other portion called goodness. Goodness to me is like the prime rib with the raw horseradish on the side. It's got the juice and, oh, I'm cool. All right, here we go. Just, oh, yeah, tender. You amen. It's like prime rib and of the goodness. God wants there to be goodness abounding within the church. Goodness is by the way, you think of prime rib, it's a primary principle of Christian living. Be good, pursue good. Don't render evil for evil. That word render, it means to deliver or to give away for, listen to this, to give away for one's own profit what is one's own. My right to do something, to give that away, to discharge what is due. Wow. Because when I choose to render rather than repay evil for evil, I surrender my rights for the benefit of another and for the benefit of myself. Why the benefit of myself? Because when I lose my life for Jesus' sake, I find it. So to render is to surrender my rights, not only for my benefit, but for the benefit of others. The word evil here, the evil speaks of harm. You know, do not render evil for evil. It speaks of harm or that which is wicked, a mode of thinking, feeling, and acting. It's troublesome to the soul. And I love that definition or that from the original Greek word for evil, because it doesn't say, you know, people can, you know, when you see evil, you go, that was evil, you know, or someone did something to somebody. But here he talks about feelings and thinking. In other words, what's going on inside? Because you can have evil in your heart and people not see it on the outside, but God sees it. So it's not just talking about your actions, but even the inaction because of your the evil that you're holding on to within your own heart. Do not repay evil for evil. You haven't said anything, you haven't done anything, but oh, you think about it. Amen?
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org. Or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.